Welcome to the Shepherd's Call, Praise Yahweh. This is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you aboard tonight. And we're going to go into the scriptures here just very shortly. We'd like to greet each and every one of you and say that we're glad to have you in our teaching audience tonight. Call a friend and tell them that we're on the air. And if we have 100 people listening and you call one, then we've got 200 and so on. And before you know it, we've got a mighty, mighty listening audience to learn the scriptures. Now, it is the scriptures that will judge you in the end. The Bible says that all judgment has been committed unto the Son. And the Bible says that this judgment will begin at your house. You are the temple, and you are responsible for your directions and your doings. Only you can reverse yourself, change yourself, or turn yourself, or to repent, or to obey, and to enter into the doctrine or the scriptures that are able to save you. These things are written that you might believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? So then, if you will anchor your soul in the steadfast, unmovable word of Yahweh, get on the rock, in other words, then you will see that the direction that your spirit needs to go in. Most people have a comfort zone, and they don't like to be removed from that. Yahweh come to change you. He come to reverse your course, to turn you in midstream. He didn't come to bring peace. He come to bring a division into your life. He come to separate you from the veil of flesh, to cut away, if you will, circumcise the foreskin of your heart, to open it to receive the engrafted word whereby that you may be saved. As we've indicated, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so we're going to go into tonight, we're going to entitle our message, The Different Levels of Existence on the Highway to Heaven. The different levels. Now, there's also different levels on the highway to hell. And I've always indicated to you and given you this up front that the highway to heaven leads actually through hell. If you go to heaven, you'll go through hell to get there. I'm telling you, really, literally speaking, you will endure a great flight of afflictions. The Apostle Peter told us to consider after that we were illuminated, meaning brought into the light, how that we endured a great amount of persecutions and afflictions. Now, why? Simply because we are the chosen ones. And the Bible says that Satan come down here, his mission on the earth is to make war with them that fear Yahweh and keep his commandments. Now, I'm going to Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to start tonight in the 16th verse. Remember, we're going to talk about the different levels, the different rewards, and the different applications in the spirit realm. If you will, read with us. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? And we don't know that if the young man was being facetious or not, or trying to compare himself and his goodness with Christ, because you see, when Christ was here upon the earth, he was looked upon as less than a do-gooder. He was a friend of publicans and sinners. He ran with questionable company. He drank wine. He was called a wine-bibber. And a friend of publicans and sinners, according to the seventh chapter of the book. Now, there is none good, but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, this is New Testament teachings where the people that go out into the New Testament era church teachings say that we no longer are under the commandments and are the law of the commandments. We don't have to do any of that anymore. But here he says, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. What are the commandments? They're not grievous. Mark 12:29 expresses it very clearly, that the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one. Yahweh is one. When you get the oneness concept of understanding that God, John 4:24, is a spirit. Now, we use the word God loosely in the King James, as it is loosely put in there, but for your sake, we will not use El or Elohim. It's a more correct translation, identification of the supreme deity or the supreme ones, Elohim, more than one. And so then, there are different levels, and over these levels, there are structured power structures within these levels. And we're going to go into the depth and the comprehensional. We don't know how deep we'll get into it tonight, but maybe perhaps in the second hour or tomorrow night, if we continue, then we can go in and we can get some liberty, and we can take you to where that we can enhance your ability to understand, and that we can underpin your thought process to grow you up as a calf in a stall, where that you can get off the milk, the structured milk that lays in the carnal mind area. You see, most Christians, quote-unquote, bell box attendees, want to go to heaven. They have a burning desire. Once they are deceived, they have a stronger impulse to please or to show favor or gain favor, if you will, with the church hierarchy to make merited status favor within the framework of earning your salvation through works. Ladies and gentlemen, it is indicated in the scriptures that works do not, and we repeat, works do not save you. Well, then you say, well, Pastor Buddy, if works don't save you, then why are we going into the structured levels of merited favor? Simply because you are saved by grace. And that not of yourself, it is not by works, lest any man should boast. It is an eternal promise, if you will, to the sheep that came not from this world. He's only looking for sheep that are out of this world, or came from outside this planet. Now, I know that may strike you as very strange that Pastor Buddy's already going on the table and serving up the meat, strong meat, that belongeth to them that have their spiritual brain, if you will, their mechanism for understanding and comprehending into the spirit realm, that you could see into the dark veil, if you will, where that the veil of Moses, it hinders the approach into the eternal spiritual liberty that's laid up for them that love and serve him. Now, what are the commandments? He saith unto him, verse 18, which? So he comes back checkmating him with, well, which one? And the Messiah, Yahweh, Yeshua, in a flesh body, if you will, Yahweh in flesh, said, thou shalt do no murder. It is correctly translated, strangely here in the Greek text, when it is, well, it's a monumental mistranslation, to beg for a better word. It is a mistranslation in the text of the Hebrew where it says, thou shalt not kill. It doesn't say that. It also says in the Hebrew, thou shalt not murder. And I've uncovered the reasons why that it doesn't say that you're not to kill. Although we don't advocate killing, but most people get killed with words. There is a war of a war of words, if you will, and the word Armageddon itself means a war of words. As long as Satan can keep you expounding or ever learning, but never able to come to the in-depth knowledge of truth, if any has you wondering in Armageddon, lost and wounded or dying in battle for the lack of the proper word to save yourself from this untoward generation. Now, let me give you the scriptures here in verse 23. As I skip along, I've got a lot of information to cover. This is in the 19th chapter again of Matthew. Verily I say unto you, and he said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, we know that Abraham was rich, Isaac was rich, Jacob was rich. Probably in the comparison rates today, our ancestors, our progenitors, the patriarchs, if you will, would be considered megabuck rich compared to the average quote-unquote Israelite today. And that's who we're directing our message to tonight, only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We are hunting sheep tonight for the different levels of acceptance, and the Bible said all men have not faith, but there is a measure of faith given to all. You must utilize or exercise your faith unto the divine principles, putting your faith to work, if you will, because you cannot have faith without works. For without works, or without works, faith is dead. So don't let your faith die, and I'm talking about the allotted portion of your faith that you were given a measure of when you came into this world to begin your pursuit of higher realms and higher goals. Now, it goes without saying, this is an evolutionary process, and we understand that through evolution, we grow in grace and knowledge. It is a series of stair steps, if you will, into them, and the more steps that you climb or ascend upon, the higher end of the heavens you become, until you become a mighty Elohim, if you will, and there's only a few high, mighty Elohim upon the earth. But let me assure you, without them, without those that dare to go where even angels fear to tread, you would have no reflective light back to your position where you stand behind. And Paul said, I was not behind the chiefest apostle, meaning Peter. And he said, I didn't confer with Peter, but after 14 years I saw him, but I was given this through divine revelation. Paul went into the heavens, and we're going to discuss his journeys there, what he saw, what he heard, how he revealed it, what he said in his return, and some of the things he said and did and revealed are astounding to the uncircumcised ear of heart and soul, meaning that the bell box has got a way of hardening, if you will, encasing, shielding your very being from the truth. Remember, the Bible said to beware of these leaders of the blind, for they get in the door themselves, they won't enter, and will hinder them that will go in. From such, withdraw yourself, completely remove yourself from the obstacle, which is your local bell box preacher. Oh, you say, Pastor Buddy, I've got an excellent preacher, an excellent teacher. Yeah, he's excellent. He's chosen to do the very things that he's doing, and that is to withstand you or to stand in the door himself and won't go in and would hinder you if you would. So the first step you make toward the door, remember, there are wolves there to eat your soul, or to steer you away, or to reflect you away, or to turn you away from the door that you must open yourself to go in. Remember, he said, behold, I, talking about the Messiah, or the Eternal Spirit, the Eternal One, who stands and waits for you yourself. You see, you have to open the door into higher levels. if you are afraid to go in to the higher levels, then the Bible said, my fear or my soul has no pleasure in them that fear or draw back. Remember Lot's wife. He that puts his hands to the plow is not fit for the kingdom principles of higher learning. These are the universities of the spirit world. The major areas where that you gain your PhD, if you will, are your doctrinal degrees of higher understanding and higher learning. Of course, it doesn't give you a right to come and boast. Paul said, who shall stop me of this boasting? Who shall separate me from this love? I know a man, whether in spirit or out. I know this man, and we're going to talk about him tonight as he journeyed into the third heaven. Now, we understand that if we look up, and it's a natural thing for us to assume that the moon and the stars and the things that are there are in the second heaven. Our atmosphere, our the immediate vicinity of our atmosphere where we're at least 35 to 40 to 50 miles up, then this is what we know as the first heaven. Now, the second heaven is out where the stars and all of these giant bodies into the second heaven where they're positioned there, and these are obstacles to the thought man as he stands and gazes into the eternals, looking as far as his eye can see without any obstruction, and he sees these little tiny specks, especially at night, when these giant planets or these giant stars shine and twinkle and give their light from afar. Now, a planet doesn't twinkle, but a star will because of its magnitude and the reflecting of the light, just like Jupiter and Venus and things of this. These are planets, and they reflect light, but stars are out there twinkling. And what they're doing actually, ladies and gentlemen, they are crying out. The stars cry out, and their message is heard throughout the universe, if you will. And they give a distinct message that there are all of the stars there that you see are symbolic of the patterns of the things that are in the eternal inner kingdom of the heavens, where there is a universe within. Remember, in the 17th chapter of the book of Luke, it quotes, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Now, in you is a vast world uninhabited by possibly even you, and it is vacant and vast in space because straight is a way, narrow is a gate, and a few there be that find it. Now, we're going to tell you about the miracle steps that it takes and the processes and the disciplines that it takes to look into the spiritual things that are hidden from man. Most men look into the third heavens where that he's trying to see or gaze. Now, this third heaven is a place beyond the eyesight of man. The second heaven is where all of the stars, as I have indicated, and these things are there for your eyesight, and the carnal mind looks into the heavens. You must look within to find the reality of Christ in you. Once you acknowledge this and once you find this, you quit seeking without. You quit running to and fro. You quit running to appease man or to be appeased of man or to have your ears tickled, and you turn from your worldly pursuit into an inward adventure within. Now we're going to talk about this inward adventure as we start tonight, praise Yahweh, our series of the different levels and steps to obtain the kingdom. We're going to Revelations quickly, chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Now, I want to put emphasis, they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelations 20, 11 through 15 in the King James Version, or as we call it short, KJV. which is what we're teaching out of tonight, for the sake of bringing any confusion into, because most of the majority of those that study with me carry the KJVs. And therefore, I teach out of the KJV to give you expression. Now, Lord and God, we've already gone into that, how it is a mistranslation purposely put into the text, if you will, to actually get you to forget the divine creator's name. Now, there's questions about how to pronounce it and things of this nature, but that's another message, and that's another time, and that's another debate in another place. But for now, we're going to look at the merited favor of reward of the inward adventure. Now, remember, I'm not talking about the exalted state of position of the carnal. We have those that go to seminaries, and we call them actually places where they create cemeteries or dead preachers to preach to the dead. And listen, death and hell were delivered up and thrown into the lake of fire, death and hell. But listen to this, whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Now, remember, he is not a God of the dead. So all those are automatically excluded, and remember that dead people can actually be observed walking around upon this earth. They are known as walking sepulchers, meaning body movements of dead men's bones contained within a walking. They seem alive. They can dance. They can sing. They can shout, run. They can read. They can see. They can throw. They can hunt, they can make money, they can eat, they can do all these things that they do in the natural, and you're still dead. They have no spirit merit favor with the Father because they have the book of life from the foundation of the world. So then, 9 out of 10, I'm going to repeat that, I don't know the statistical number, only Yahweh keeps a number for Israel. But I predict that 9 out of 10 people that you meet, I mean, they may look good, sound good, be good. You can give all your goods to feed the poor, and if you don't have the truth, it don't profit you nothing. If your name is not on the Lamb's book, now you say, Pastor Buddy, how do I make sure of my election and my calling to the Lamb's book? Well, it's certain that you had it on there before you came. So then there's nothing that you can do in any way, form, or fashion to make sure that it's on there, or to see that it's on there, or see that somebody puts it on there. If it's on there, it's on there, and if it's not, it's not. And you say, well, many will seek me in that day and will not be able to find me. Isn't that what he said? So you see, many strive to enter in at the straight gate and are not able to find the door. Why? Because this door is not to command. It's commanded not to open to them because they're not his sheep. I know this is a hard saying, and a few there be that's going to hear this message tonight. And so then we limited ourselves to those applicable to accept the truth. And the Bible said, you shall know the truth, and only the truth shall make you free. Now, I've indicated to you that it's the difference between set free and made free. If I set you free within a confine of a large, encaged prison, and it is a, let's say it's 10 acres, if I was to capture a tiger and put him, take him out of his natural domain, if you will, the jungle with many acres, he would seem like that he was free, but he would feel enclosed in a 10-acre, although it's that big, praise Yahweh. So set and made free is two different things. We're going to discuss it when we come back in merited favor in the different levels of approach. We're coming back after the break. You stay with us. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We'll be back in two. You come back, too. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome back to the second half of our show. We're going to go immediately after this broadcast at the end of the hour. We're going to switch over to soundwaves2000.com to continue our message here tonight, so you don't want to miss one word of the message. We're going to do the degree levels and the applications of how to obtain this crown that is laid up. Now, the crown that's laid up, the Bible said we all run in a race, run that you may finish the race. Now, Paul said, I've kept the faith. I have finished the course, and I have fought a good fight. So those ingredients are the work of the thoroughbreds that we're looking for tonight. We're talking about those that have their name on the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't have to do anything to get saved. You're already saved. All you've got to do is find your way back to the merited favor of grace, as doth the illustration of the prodigal son. Remember, there was more rejoicing over the lost that was found than the found that was never lost. So then, we are here, and we find ourselves clothed in bodies of flesh, if you will. We took upon ourselves the nature of a fallen flesh man that we might rescue those that got entrapped here eons ago and have never been able to figure out how to come through the maze. And so, advanced teachers, if you listen to me, I'm going to give you some instructions. Advanced teachers, now, do they have world recognition? Of course not. Does the world love them? Of course not. Will they be received by the world? Of course not. Well, to whom are they sent? They're sent to those that are lost. They're sent to those that are in darkness. They're sent to those that are in prison. Now, why? Because they have received a special anointing to lead. And the Bible said, how can you hear without a preacher? This is the anointed ones, if you will. And how can they preach, if you will, or revelate or bring you out of darkness except they be sent? Now, where were they sent from? From before the foundation of the world, the Father told Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6, Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's belly, I knew you. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me thrills and chills to know that my Heavenly Father sent me on a mission, sent you possibly on a mission over here. I know my calling. And the Bible said, let every man abide in his calling. Now, we're going quickly over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. A lot of people are. They don't understand how the operation of the inward spirit works, and as it collects as a nucleus of the power that comes from on high. You see, it's not you that doeth the work, but Christ that dwelleth in you, and through him, I repeat, we are all, including myself, living below the accepted level of the spirit expectations that was given to us in our command when we signed on in the contract to come over here to deliver. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, I don't do enough. I teach 2 hours a night on national radio, worldwide internet download, satellites, and the micro rebroadcasters, but I feel short. I feel like my time is short. I feel like I haven't done enough. I want to press toward the mark, and I have to be thankful along the way to those who support me and make it possible for me and my voice to go out. You see, if I win one, they that support me wins one. And then it is merited favor of grace, because only Yahweh knows the underpinning and the support that is in each ministry that brings in the sheep unto the fold, meaning that there is manifestations of spiritual gifts to profit with. Now, notice this. Here we go. There are diversities, verse 4, of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same master. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with. So, you see, the Heavenly Father has given you a portion of the Spirit to profit. Now, put your monies to the money changers and see what comes forth, what is given back to you. Remember, he said, for those that give, more shall be given. It is a if you will, a re- a return on your investment, as the bankers would say, praise Yahweh. So it's reciprocal to return back to you, pressed down, fourfold, and running over into your very being, praise Yahweh. Oh, I get thrills by thinking about the precious promises that are laid up. Now, I'm going to Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 through verse 42. Quickly, turn there with me, if you will. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. As we are in the merited favor or the different levels of operations as the Spirit gives. So whatever you give, whatever you are a pledge to, if you're not the voice, if you can't get on and minister, if you don't have the ability to speak before congregations or to persuade people. You see, the reason that we try to persuade people, we know the terror of him that saith, they that broke Moses' law died without any mercy whatsoever. Consider yourself if you neglect such great salvation, meaning not that it is, in a sense, fearful or dangerous to take this on. This is the most, it's easy to be entreated if the Spirit is correct. The Holy Spirit is long-suffering, gentle, kind, meek. It is easy to be entreated and full of mercy and good fruits and things of this nature. So once you take this on, it becomes such an addiction. You see, you cannot sit down and be an island unto yourself with this raging inferno, if you will, this burning. Jeremiah said, all my bones shake, and in me it is a fire shut up in my bones. The revelation. No wonder he brought the daughters of Zedekiah and brought them through Egypt out of the disbursement, and no wonder he escaped into Egypt with the daughters of Zedekiah, so that he could preserve a king line seed, if you will, and bring it into Ireland and into Scotland. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a burning desire. He had a desire that the procreation of Israel, that the existence, that the continuality of Israel, the continuity, if you will, would continue to thousands upon thousands of generations. And then the Father promised, listen to me, he said, as long as there's a sun and moon, then Israel shall remain a people before me. They are my chosen ones, and yet he's had to interfere, if you will, to save or to preserve the seed of Jacob and the ones that are destined for these eternal beings with their names on the Lamb's book from the foundation. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, well, now, where is it in the Bible? Now, you know, if you believe in predestination, glory to God, well, that, what about going up and confessing your sins? And what about going up on the altar and praying, glory to God? We see a lot of this churchanity, Christianity, if you will, Christianity, Krishna, if you will, all of this is false, unreadable in text. You are not to be born again. Now, let me repeat this. It is not written that you must be born again. The text implies that you must be born from above. Now, if you are born from above, you have your name on the Lamb's book. Nothing you could do to take it off or to put it on. It was put there by some internal, some, if you will, intelligence greater than yourself. Now, these are all voluntarily because a group of mighty ones, if you will, Elohim, they convened a convention in the heavens, and they decided that earth was worth saving. And that some of our eternal ones had come down here for Operation Saving, meaning to redeem or to bring back home those who had strayed from the fold, the lost sheep, if you will, of the house of Israel. Now, these ministers, remember, you shall receive a prophet's reward. Now, Let's go to verse 8 of Corinthians, and it says, to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith, to another the gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation. So we have 9 spiritual gifts that are given to you. You can have all of these. If you are an eternal being, I predict that you will at one time or another, if not at all times, display these unique characteristics of an eternal being. Ladies and gentlemen, it is impossible for you to be an eternal being as a light of the world and not shine. Remember this. Now, the only thing that would prevent you from letting your light shine is that you get caught up in the cares of this world and that you get caught up in the affairs of this world and you forget your appointed mission, and that is Satan's job, is to deter you or to snag you with the thorns of life. Now, a beautiful home could be a thorn. A beautiful wife could be a thorn. A handsome, dashing, debonair husband could be a thorn. A large, sizable bank account, so much money that it would take a lifetime of your thoughts and your attention to spend, would be a, if you will, a deterrent to your appointed destiny. You must lay aside all these things and count it, as did Paul, as dung for Christ's sake. That while you're here, you work while it is light, and you are light, and make sure the light in you is not darkness. You see, we come from the light constellation of Orion many, 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 many moons ago. Why did we come? We signed on as volunteers. We come down here to rescue. And we came into the pig pens of life, if you will, and felt as we came through the birth canal, this great void of darkness, and we found ourselves separated from our eternal existence. We found ourselves in a limited body of flesh, and we had to humble ourselves just like the Mighty One, our Messiah, who came down to rescue all of us. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we were all stuck in the interdimensional heavens where that Satan had bound, if you will, and spun the web of concealment rather than revealment, and he blinded our eyes and got us stuck in the karmatic patterns of the world to where we had to cycle in and cycle out, and this endless, ceaseless cycle got us in a lot of trouble. But here come the waymaker. Here come the prison. He broke into prison, ladies and gentlemen. He entered into the prison, if you will, and he broke into prison. He took the keys from the chief warden, if you will, Satan, the chief prosecutor, of the chief who, the Bible said, he's the accuser of the brethren. We were always accused in the attorney state or the gates of reality of eternity, where we stood there trying to make our way back to our eternal home. Remember, we are not of this world, according to the 8th chapter of John. Now, if we're not of this world, and neither are the sheep, he wasn't of this world, and neither are we. We are his beings, eternal light beings, from a far distant galaxy, and we came down here to liberate this planet. And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, it's too far gone. Just forget it. Let me give you a scripture here in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. Again, we read, for the Son of Man shall come in his Father, the glory of his Father, the Son of Man. Now, are you a son of man? Yes, you are. Well, if you come in the glory of your Father, your face will shine. You will do the works of your Father. You will bring forth revelations as stepping stones to lesser beings. And that's why that we labor among the sheep in the sheepfold, or if you will, the pig pens of life, as we go through searching for those that are lost, that have not the ability to comprehend. They don't have the revelations. They can't see into the spiritual things, the dark things. And so therefore, we become actually, if you will, stepping stones. We gladly lay our bodies on the line to let them step upon us to get a shoulder view of over the wall scenarios. Praise Yahweh. when he comes in the glory of his Father and his angel. Now, when does he come? When he comes into your very being, when he illuminates you and turns you from the dark path into the path of light, that's when the Father and the glory of all the angelic host come to give you the revelation. That's when he comes. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. He shall reward according to works. Now remember the scenario that he gave us in the Gospels, where he indicated that one man received one talent, so on and so forth, and this one man hid his because he only got one, and the other that gained two, he went out and gained two, and he had four, and so on, so on, so on, so on, and to the man that had 10 talents, and he was made master over 10 cities and things of this nature. This is merited favor. However, listen, you are saved by grace, but you're rewarded by your works. If you want to grow, if you want to have a more, if you will, if you want to have a bigger castle, so to speak, or a bigger mansion, and you deserve this, if you work and you gain 10, then you would deserve a portion of whatever that they're going to share in their 10 inheritance. So a portion that is given to you, and it means that your crown or your glory will shine in vibratory levels above those that are below you. That doesn't make you any greater. It just gives you a vibratory force. And what is it? The greatest among you shall be servants. I'm telling you that the greater you are, the lower you have to bend to be a stepping stone for those less fortunate to step upon your shoulders. And as Russ gave this famous quote by some famous man, I can't remember who he was. I think it was Webster or someone, that the reason that he saw so far is because he stood on the shoulders of giants of the past. Well, indicate we stand now upon the shoulders of our Messiah. He is the chief shepherd, and he is the bishop of our soul, meaning that we follow in his path. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 14 and verses 10 through 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why do you sit at naught your brother? You see, if the brother don't behave like we think he should, we box him in to our limited view, and we judge out of our half bushel. We measure his wheat in our half bushel, as the old saying goes, and it's not to be. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of the Mighty One, Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith Yahweh, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, where does God dwell? The Bible indicates in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, if any man hath not the Spirit of God, you're none of his. Now, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And if you don't have that Spirit in you, you are none of his. Now, where did that Spirit come into you? You brought it with you from the eternal world of existence where you came from. Now, wherever you came from, it is for sure you will return. I mean, it's going to be lost? None. Except the son of perdition. For we must all appear, now I'm going to give you another scripture, before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 10. Now, what does that mean if we are saved? And the Bible said we are literally saved by the skin of our teeth, with the righteous scarcely be saved. Where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? Remember, it said, whosoever was not written in the Lamb's book or the Eternal One's book was cast into the sea of the fire, meaning that they are no longer existing in reality as inheritors of the things that are promised and laid up for them that love and serve him. And why do we go forth if we, you know, the question is, well, Pastor Buddy, if you're eternally saved and you don't have to do anything, why are you out here working? Why are you out here laboring? Why do you read scriptures? Why do you pray? Why do you fast? Why do you bother? Because, as I indicated, it is a fire shut up in my bone of passion for my fellow Israelite. Greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his brother. And in a sense, praise Yahweh, we are laying down our lives literally so that we may pick others up, or they can step on us as stepping stones into the rewards that's laid up for them that love and serve Him. But I have not seen, and the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man, what Yahweh hath laid up for them that make this sacrifice in these flesh bodies. So while it is now light, work while it's light. Come out of your shell, extend your power, extend your gifts and your promises and your faith, and put it to the money changer. Call somebody up after the broadcast and say, hey, brother, I want to invite you to listen to the Shepherd's Call on the radio. And maybe by doing so that we can anoint that listener, whoever it is. And if it happens to be a sheep, the Bible said, my sheep will hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. They know the call of the Eternal One, and light as it is, it reaches into the inward regions of darkness. And that's why that darkness is so valuable. It contrasts the light. And only a small speck of light, you can see it for a long way off. And that's why that we talk about this thing. Now, I'm going to have to stop right here because my time is coming on truth tonight, and I've enjoyed being with you. I felt the anointing of the Spirit. We're going to continue on this wonderful subject of merited favor, or different levels as we go into the heavens, and we're going into Soundwaves 2000. Make the switch. If you're not there at Soundwaves2000.com, you should already be there. If you're there, you don't have to make the switch from truth. It will automatically carry over into Soundwaves 2000. So we're going over there just after the break, and we will see you on the other side on Soundwaves 2000. Now, let me tell you how to contact Pastor Buddy. You can simply write me at Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Now, you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. If I'm busy here tonight on the radio and you call in before that I get off the radio, voicemail will automatically pick you up, leave your name and telephone number, speak very plainly. I'll call you back at my convenience, praise Yahweh, and it will be very soon. Now, if you would like to email me, simply in lowercase letters, all these are lowercase, E. Johnson, that's E as in eagle, E. Johnson, at www.gap.net. That's all the information you need to contact Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. And we've got a lot of things that offer. We've got video teaching tapes and things of this nature that may help you on your journey and your progression as you evolve toward the Father. Now, if you turn love around, spell it backwards, you're evolving, praise Yahweh, into the mighty host of the Elohim, and there you keep company with those that are able to teach you. Praise Yahweh, and those that advanced into the heavens that gone on before you. But listen, by their kindness and their love, they're turning around and they're going back to hunt those that didn't make it or that are lost. And so, therefore, if someone hadn't come back with the light to shine it for you, you would have never seen where you're at today to shine lights for others. So remember, charity is the greatest gift. That is, that you have a truth in your life that you want to share with your brothers. Now, let me give you my sponsors here tonight. Miracle 2 sponsors, Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack. They are my main flagship sponsors, praise Yahweh, and they support Shepherd's Call on the air. We are on two hours every night, 5 days a week, praise Yahweh, and it's wonderful to come into your home or wherever we're being received. Dr. Jack is at 1-888-281-7320. Dr. Gary is at 1-877-289-7439, and you can get the Miracle 2 products, and these are toll-free numbers, simply by calling 1-888-281-7320 or 1-877-289-7439. Give them a call, tell them Pastor Buddy sent you, and I'll be glad that you did, and you will be pleased by getting these wonderful products from these wonderful men. Well, we'll see you on the other side, Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We'll see you tomorrow night on Truth Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Praise Yahweh.
Join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.